Hello and welcome to the Euromoney Conference's online podcast, episode 5. We're recording this on Friday the 14th of March 2014. And this is the Not Talking About Ukraine edition. I'll come on to that in a minute. I'm being joined not by Chris Ostrovsky, our man from the Russian regions, who unfortunately brought back rather a nasty cold and is ill, but I'm joined by Dan Alderson, who's the editor of IFIS, part of the newly minted, renamed Global Capital. Dan, welcome.
Hi.
So we're going to be talking about our usual subject, the Middle East, in a minute. But before then, our quick promo. Please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or via our website. Please join, become register on our website, euromoneyconferencesonline.com, and follow us on Twitter, at euromoneyconf. So, Dan, in the last week or so, I think the big event from the Middle East, particularly from the GCC, has been the withdrawal of the Saudi, Emirati and Bahraini ambassadors from Qatar. How did the markets react to that nascent diplomatic spat?
Well, I think that there's been sort of two movements to this. It was last week and this week. Last week, people in the region weren't particularly concerned about it. They thought that it was something that would blow over fairly soon. There was a bit of movement in the Qatari CDS, about 7 to 10 basis points. It went wider by that amount. But at the time, people were saying that this was really just the international investors getting a bit jumpy and saying that they perhaps don't understand it as well, the region as well as the equity guys. Stocks weren't really moving very much at that stage. The stock holders are generally more local, and I think they. I think this week we've seen a slight change in that. In that Qatari CDS has continued even wider. It's gone 17 basis points wider, although it's gone back in a little bit again towards the end of the week. And then you've seen a bit of movement in the stocks as well, and you've seen the UAE and Saudi spreads going out as well, and some of the bonds dipping a bit, losing a point or two here and there. So I think that there has been a bit more concern about the escalation of this and the sort of war of words and the things like the Al Jazeera. Basically people being asked to leave their jobs at Al Jazeera by Saudi Arabia.
Is that definite or is that an allegedly?
Well, they've made these noises. They said that people should be resigning, and some people have actually done so. I don't know how much pressure has been put on them individually, but some people certainly have left their jobs.
But I mean, overall, the Saudi equity market and the Emirati equity markets, because there are a number of them, of course. And indeed, Bahrain, to some extent, have had a reasonably good year. The UAE markets had a stellar year last year, and some of them are up even 25% this year. So it's coming off a bit of a quite a long run upwards.
Exactly. This is something you have to put in context, that over the last 18 months, there has been a pretty spectacular rally in the region. Even, Bahrain's done pretty well. I was looking at their 23 bond they issued last year. That's gone from sort of 96 up to 110, and that's come off 2 points. I suppose that what we're seeing is it's a great opportunity if ever you had an excuse to take money off the table,
a little bit of profit taking.
Profit taking, yeah.
And institutional investors are never criticised for taking a few profits.
Yeah.
But as you say, I mean, if you compare the GCC markets, all of them, and indeed the wider MENA region, and I'm looking at the equity markets, but it is more or less mirrored in the debt markets. They've had a hell of a run in the last 18 months or so, especially if you consider what's been happening in the other emerging market universe. And this is really just a bit of profit. I mean, my take on this is that it's really just a bit of profit taking. The run up may not continue, but there is a slight revaluation, but the word is on slight, not on. The emphasis is on slight, not on revaluation.
I think so. I think that people expect this to blow over in one form or another, whether it's done publicly, or as the dispute has been, or whether it's settled behind closed doors, I think that the market will hopefully will have a chance to forget about this and see where the next move upwards comes from. I think that investors aren't particularly concerned about that. They will use the time to reassess the sort of geopolitical aspects of the region and see what they want to do next. But I think that we should be seeing some progress on this soon, I would have thought.
There are a number of IPOs that have been announced in the first quarter, particularly National Commercial Bank, NCB of Saudi Arabia, which is currently majority owned by the government. 15% is apparently earmarked for privatisation, of which the majority will go to the public pension agency and GOSI and other agencies within Saudi Arabia, but there will be some sort of free float. Do you see this as the beginning of a return to IPOs within the region?
I'm not sure on that point.
No, but just on your gut, I mean, your gut instinct. I know you're not an equity guy, so you can't really comment on it, but it's certainly the biggest announcement in that field for a considerable period of time.
Well, it'll hopefully give some encouragement for other things to happen in that regard.
Yeah. Turn from the IPO market to the Sukuk market. The first quarter has been, now we're in the first quarter, the first quarter has been quite quiet. Why do you think that is, given that the equity markets have had such a strong run in the last, in the first quarter and indeed last year?
This is a topic that's perplexed a lot of people in the market, that we came into the year with everyone saying that conditions were fantastic in the Gulf, that people should be coming to market with Sukuk and with bonds. That didn't happen for some reason. You talk to the bankers, the syndicate guys, they say, well, it's a question of documentation. People also were sort of still digesting a fairly strong end to the last year. There was quite a lot of issuance in the fourth quarter 2013. But even so, I think that people were quite mystified that we didn't get a bit of a run into the year. If you look in the Sukuk market, historically though, January has typically been very, very quiet. We've sort of got used to, in the last couple of years, to deals coming through in January, but that's not the norm at all. That is just the last couple of years. And so, normally you're sort of looking to February, March before things start coming through. And we've slowly seen that happen. We had a couple of corporate issues. Divine Investments Park came through, and we had the
which was very heavily oversubscribed.
Yes, but it was also a very small size deal.
$300 million.
Yeah. So, it showed that there is pent up demand, but then it is a new issue as well. And I think that being a corporate as well, people were quite interested in that, and they've been starved of supply as well. Similarly, we've had the Islamic Development Bank come through, and that was quite a surprise, because they've always said along that they wanted to do 1 billion, even sort of the week before they're saying, yeah, we're going to do 1 billion, and then they managed to get 1.5 billion done. Again, it's a bit of a captive investor base, because people need this paper for regulatory reasons and so on. It ticks a lot of boxes for different kinds of investor, being AAA rated. But even so, I think it was a great result for them. They issued at their tightest ever price as well. And
do you recall what the price was?
Oh, it was in the 20s basis points. I can't remember exactly, but it was certainly tighter than the ones they've done before. It's been coming down gradually. I think that people are just seeing it more. You're getting the same kind of investors coming in as come in for the other, like the Asian Development Bank and African Development Bank and so on. It's got that same sort of appeal, I think, for people.
Will they come to that? I mean, they aren't a frequent issuer in the same way that other SSAs or global SSAs are. Do you see them coming to the market more regularly? Have they said anything about that in the conversations they've been having?
I think that for them, it's always tied to the projects that they have going. They always talk about, we could do issues in, they've done issues in ringgit, for instance, and in sterling in the past. I think they still think that they might do more of this kind of stuff, but it depends very much on what the projects are. They don't raise money to give to countries. They raise it for specific projects. I think they're very encouraged by what they achieved, and I think that they want to do more.
And what, I mean, as far as you know, what percentage of the uptake of that deal was regional and what was international? Or do you feel that most of it was regional, but just the accounts were maybe in UK or Switzerland, but it was all going to flow back really to the region in some form or other?
No, I think there was quite a big European component to the deal. I didn't get the breakdown of, you know, how much was UK and how much was the rest of Europe. So I can't really say how much was for the UK Islamic banks, but they certainly need the paper. But you also got, you know, a big sort of, I think, conventional investor base quite interested in buying this as well. So
it's clearly very high quality paper.
Yeah.
AAA. Yeah. You know, not a lot of AAA out there.
No. Well, there's no other AAA Sukuk that they can invest in. So
not much AAA of anything they can invest in. So that was the sort of, you know, the flagship issue of we've still got 2 weeks to go in the first quarter, so you never know. Maybe the Saudi government will come to the market in the next 2 weeks. But up until now, the 14th of March, that was the flagship issue for the first quarter.
We could, it depends. We could see Saudi Electricity Company come to market. I don't know whether that will be this month or whether it will be next month, but they're another potential issuer.
So let's cast our minds forward now to the second quarter. Or indeed longer, if you wish. What's in the pipeline? What do we see? What we might see in the next quarter? I won't hold you to this, Daniel. I've forgotten this by next week, so I'm not going to come back and I say, well, you said.
Yeah.
Anyway, give us your idea about what might happen.
It's a bit of an unknown entity, the second quarter. On one hand, you have a certain amount of pressure on the second quarter because the third quarter of this year, probably not much is going to get done. You've got summer months in the Gulf, and you've got Ramadan and so on. So therefore, you're either looking at second quarter or fourth quarter issuance. I think that people are speculating that there might be some of the Emirate names coming through, as in Emirates Airline, perhaps.
There's been talk of that. I mean,
They've said that they're looking to do more Sukuk, but it's been fairly vague on what they're trying to do. So there could be some Dubai names coming through. There's not a lot of impetus for banks in the region to issue. They're all pretty flush with cash. They're looking more to find things to put money into at the moment. So I think that in the second quarter, one thing that definitely seems like it could be coming through is Turkish banks. They've all got Islamic financings to...
We're talking about Turkish Islamic banks, or as they call them in Turkey, participation banks, of which there are four?
There are four. The main ones are there's Turkey Finance, there's Bank Asia, Kuwait Turk, and Al Baraka Turk. Last year they all did Sukuk of one form or another, either in their own currency or in dollars. For a longer period of time, they've been doing Islamic financings every year, sort of doing rolling 1 year murabaha. I think they sort of geared themselves up for the year that they were going to have a big splash and do Sukuk and financings. That's obviously been a bit overshadowed by the political events and the investigations that have been going on.
And the performance of the lira.
Yes, and definitely the performance of the lira. That will push them actually towards doing more dollar issuance because the rates they pay in lira are pretty high, and then you've got the exchange aspect as well. So if you do it in dollars, you can actually exchange and get a better rate. So
you are taking foreign currency risk onto your balance sheet.
And
they will have to presumably have to pay some form of premium because, you know, that has proved to be troublesome in the past for institutions that borrow in one currency and lend in another.
Right. Yeah. And also it opens them up to the international investor base as well, and the scrutiny of that. So there are some that are fairly well positioned, I would say, and look likely to issue Turkey Finance is the one that people are hotly tipping to come to market first. They've got they did a 500 million of loans. I think about 400 million or something of that is coming due at the end of I think it's in May. So they were looking to refinance that, but also to do a dollar sukuk. They're well positioned. They've got a good shareholder structure with NCB behind them. So that Gulf backing is certainly something that people will look to for comfort in the name.
Do they need to come to market? I mean, is this a refinancing or rolling over of the 1 year Murabahas? Is there any sort of part of this that is discretionary, or is it necessary that institution and other institutions have to come to the market sometime in 2014?
I don't think that they will. I don't think it's as absolute as that, but they will certainly want to do this for the things that they've got lined up for the year. I think it would be disappointing for them if they were unable to do that. Whether they can do a sukuk and murabaha in close proximity to each other is a question that some investors will have. I think they don't feel that it's a problem, even though you're looking at a lot of the same investor base coming in for, if you've got a lot of Gulf banks coming in for the financing, they will also be investors in the sukuk as well. So,
and any indication from the sovereign side on the sovereign sukuk? I mean, I understand, and I may have the numbers wrong, I often do, but the Turkish sovereign is between 60 and 70% funded for the year.
Right.
Given everything that's going on in Turkey, given the election, which takes place in 2 weeks' time, presumably there won't be a lot of action from them until the direction is clear within the country. But do you hear any talk of on the sovereign side of Turkey?
Well, what I go back to on this is that they've made a pretty clear statement that they are going to come to market every year from now on with sukuk. They're pretty nimble about when they do it, but they tend to come around September time. And I think that they'll do that. And obviously, you've got the municipal elections coming up. I think that will be a strong indicator for the general election in August. But
general elections next year.
yes. So,
but they're not entirely unrelated. I grant you that.
I think that so that'll be a strong sort of indicator for the participation banks. Perhaps I think they would be wise to wait until that's sort of out of the way, and then.
Has there been any sukuk action from the Turkish corporates? I think one of the concerns that some of the market participants that I've spoken to have is not the sovereign, and not directly the banks, but the corporate sector. The corporate debt in Turkey is relatively large. That's both conventional and Islamic. But I don't know a lot about the Islamic, the sukuk side of the corporate sector. Have there been big sukuk issuances there?
Well, this is the thing that hasn't come materialized. That people have talked a lot about this, that they could be coming through. Certainly, the end of last year, a lot of people thought, well, yeah, that could be a big area of growth for the market. We haven't seen too much sign of it as yet, but. I suppose watch this space, and I think perhaps second quarter we'll get more indication. I don't know.
Well, as we'll see, we'll be following that on our future podcast, particularly around these elections, which are at the end of this month, 2 weeks from now. Dan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to be a rather short podcast this week. As I said, we wanted to have my colleague Chris, but he's unwell, so it's just Dan and I. But let me close with my usual commercial. For those of you interested in hedge funds, or in fact, for those of you who are hedge funds, our Absolute Return Symposium, our annual event, kicks off in New York next week. We'll be having coverage, both video and audio, as well as special interviews from that, posted on the conference's online website next week. And just to close to say, please subscribe to both the podcast and the video site itself, as well as following us on Twitter at EuromoneyConf. In the meantime, thank you all for listening, and I will speak to you, I hope, next week.